Today, we're going to go over the most comprehensive micro SaaS 101, how to build one, what that looks like, examples. I'm going to give away some startup ideas. I'm going to talk about growth flywheels. I'm going to talk about user journeys. I'm going to talk about the playbook. This is something that people charge tens of thousands, if not more, of dollars for. But today, I'm going to give it away for free because I couldn't find anywhere on the internet where it was in one place. So my hope is that by the end of this episode, you have a really good idea around how to build a micro SaaS business, what that actually even means, what's the difference between SaaS and micro SaaS, and just get your creative juices flowing so that you can actually go and use AI to build some of these micro SaaS businesses, either if you have a full-time job and you just want to, you know, build something on the side, if you just want to learn, or if you want to go all in and make micro SaaS your main thing. So let's get right into it. The Startup Ideas Podcast. Sipping time, baby. So, you know, the first question is, what is a micro SaaS? So the difference between a micro SaaS and a full-on SaaS is that a micro SaaS is focused on a niche. So it's the target is extremely niche. Think of Salesforce. It's targeting basically everyone. A micro SaaS is a particular niche audience, and it also has a niche product. Like, it's just kind of a feature of a feature, and it's also focused on profitability, whereas, you know, a successful micro SaaS might get you 10, 20, 30, 50K a month of profit. And it's also focused on, it's also for, you know, you could be built with a solo or tiny team. Why build one? It doesn't cost a lot of money to build. Typically, these micro SaaS have 80 to 90% margin. From a lifestyle perspective, you know, we're going to get into it, but, you know, some of these things are, you know, they run on not that much, you know, it doesn't require 120 hours a week type thing. You can have 100% of the equity for you and your team. And there's beginning to become this, you know, marketplace or liquidity for exits for some of these things. So let's talk about some examples. My favorite recent example is this company, Bank Statement Converter, because it's so literally simple. This is a business that's doing $40,000 a month of MRR, solo founder. And it's literally exactly what it sounds like. You, the world's most trusted, quote unquote, bank statement convertible, easily convert PDF bank statements from thousands of banks worldwide into a clean Excel format. So this is the whole thing, right? And, you know, why does it work? Well, I think it works because, you know, the domain is good. It you know, does a thing very well. It's a pain point that people have. And it's just very, very simple. So that's an example of what a micro SaaS could be. Another one, this one's at 24K MRR, is this whole idea around projecting in the future your financial net worth. And it's just a nice way to visualize it. They're pricing, I think, you know, $109 a year. So you're talking about, you know, under $10 a month. And that's the whole business. It's just, you know, projecting your financial future. So it, you can see, right? You can see that these are sort of a feature of a feature. This would be a part of a bigger thing, but they fully focus on it. And in the age of AI, you can actually build a startup that is a feature of a feature or micro SaaS, because it's just quicker, easier to build with tools like Cursor, etc. Clean Voice, 20K a month MRR. So, you know, edit your podcast in 10 minutes automatically. So it's just the features around, you know, removing your background noise, filler words, long silence, mouse sounds, right? So 15,000 podcasters use it. A lot of, you know, I'm a podcaster and, or, you know, have a podcast. So, you know, I've felt this pain point. So you're starting to notice that a lot of these ideas have like very good brands, very big pain point, clear. And you can, you know, if it works, you can expect, you know, the 5 to 6 figure a month MRR range if it works, right? Now, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Not everyone who's going to start a micro SaaS is going to work. just like not everyone who's going to start a startup, it's going to work. The odds are against you. But if you know, if you stick with me to the end of this, and if you, you know, you actually ship products and you learn, it's going to increase your likelihood of success as you see what works and what doesn't work. So we're going to talk at the end of the episode about some of the micro SaaS ideas. I'll give it away. And I've been thinking about, like, you know, what makes the growth flywheel of a successful micro SaaS. And I've, you know, summarized it into this. So first, you're going to actually build an audience or a community. So for example, when we first started boringmarketing.com, you know, it was just a Twitter account where we talked about automating marketing with AI workflow and agents. And over time, we built the business around it, but it literally started off as a X account. So you could do the same. So you can start by building the audience and community. From that, you're going to learn about the acute pains of that audience and community. From that, you know, well, obviously you're going to build something. You're going to build the startup, right? And then it's going to generate some word of mouth. You're going to start creating recurring revenue. And then you're going to reinvest that recurring revenue into the audience and community, right? So you're going to do things like IRL events. You're going to do things like promoting posts that work. You know, for example, maybe this post worked a lot. You can see it got 2,000 likes. How do you put paid ad against that and then get people to sign up to your startup? That's, you know, in summary, exactly how to think about the growth flywheel of your micro SaaS. Real quick, I need to tell you about something that's helping me sleep better at night as an entrepreneur. I was running multiple companies with money scattered everywhere, zero spending visibility, and making growth decisions pretty blind. I knew there had to be a better way, and my friend told me about Brex. So I switched, and now I have mission control for every dollar, spend management and visibility, virtual cards for my team, and earning cash from the same day treasury product. I was leaving so much money on the table, but not anymore. I have a financial operating system for our businesses to make decisions so I can spend smarter and move faster. And it's been a total game changer. I'm loving Brex so much, I reached out to them and asked them to sponsor the pod. If you're building something real, you need a complete financial operating system like Brex. It'll help you sleep better too, and you can't be mad at that. So let's talk about the user journey of a typical micro SaaS product. So usually there's a manual workflow that people are doing that's painful. So for example, we talked about the, you know, the bank statement converter. People were doing this across all, you know, a bunch of different companies, and it's annoying to do, right? So there's that manual workflow that people were doing, and people look for a fix. Oftentimes they go to Google or ChatGPT or Perplexity to find the fix. They find that micro SaaS. That's why having a good domain name is really important. Now, by the way, a lot of people are going to say, well, you know, all the .coms are taken and stuff like that. Well, like, you know, not all of the .coms are taken, first of all. And also, like, these long ones that, like, sound like super long, bank statement converter, you would be surprised how many of them are not taken. They have a wow moment. Like, they use the product, it works. Of course, you need to create a high-quality product. Usually, there's some trial to value. So maybe it's, you know, a free trial for a few days, they see it works, and then you start paying $19 a month. They're hopefully delighted and they tell some of their friends, or you have, you know, you incentivize them to share it with their Slack for maybe free credits and stuff like that. That creates the referral influx, which creates growth. And the other thing it creates when you share it and people are sharing it on Twitter and Instagram and places like that, it helps with your SEO. So over time, it compounds. And what does that look like from a numbers perspective? So you can think of it as like, well, you start getting 10,000, you start by getting 10 visitors a month, but then it gets 100, 1,000, 10,000 site visitors. But let's just use, you know, as an example, 10,000 site visitors a month. 1,500 of them do free trials. That gets it to 300 active users that are paying about 150 paying subscribers paying $19 a month. So you end up getting about 30 advocates. And a lot of people focus on these paying subscribers, but you really want to think about how do you get to the top of the funnel. And that's where this audience and community piece is so important. Because if you build an audience and community and you become a creator of some sort, you know, you can definitely earn a lot of attention. And a lot of people say, like, to me at least, they're like, well, you know, easy for you to say, like, you guys created this 0 to 78,000, you know, boring marketer community. You know, it's easy for you to say that, like, yeah, of course you get 10,000 site visits when you post something. But the reality is we started this account, you know, a year and a half or 2 years ago. And we started from zero. So it is totally, totally possible to do. And if you look at it from a financial perspective, like, you know, it's going to suck in the beginning. Like, you're going to be making $0 or $10 a month or $100 a month. But it compounds. I just want to let you know that if you build a good product and you're building a good audience and you're adding to both those things, both from an audience and a product perspective, your month one, you might do $200 a month. You might three, you might do 2,000, six, 7,000. If you reinvest these profits into ads, affiliates, and new features, it does compound, assuming, like, you know, competition doesn't get super competitive and assuming you continue to actually reinvest. From an affiliate perspective, what I'm seeing is approximately 20% of, you know, you can give 20% of your revenue to affiliates. You incentivize them with 20%. You can use platforms. I'm not involved with any of these companies, but you can use platforms like Rewardful to help manage that. I see a lot of micro SaaSes use this product. You know, I tried to visualize, like, what does the micro SaaS playbook look like from a visual perspective? So you start by finding the itch, right? So solve your own problem if you can, because you'll know it most intimately. Focus on niche, don't focus on broad, and then validate it with a tweet. Once you're building that audience, you can actually say, like, hey, would anyone want something like this? It's kind of crazy, but there was a guy, I want to bring him on the pod, Josh Pigford. So this guy, Josh Pigford, he was on ideabrowser.com, which I give away one free idea every single day on this product. Sign up if you haven't already, but he was on it, and he basically saw the idea of the day. He said, I'm building it. It was a micro SaaS idea. He called it NameSnag. It was basically an AI agent that finds profitable expired.com domains. And he just starts building it in public. And it just, like, it went completely viral. He says, saw Greg Eisenberg's post yesterday, sighed, realized I was going to have to build it. Woke up this morning at 4:30 a.m. as I do, started building. 12 hours later, we're live. Say hello to namesnag.com and snag a killer domain for your next idea. And then he says, how long until the first dollar comes in? And it didn't take long, 1 hour, that's long. Then he goes, I think he says, then it goes to $1,000. Make that $1,000. And that was just a few hours. So it just, when you're building in public like this, like, people are rooting for you. And of course you need to iterate on the idea and add and remove and change the positioning. But this is very much the playbook of how to build a micro SaaS in public. So you're going to want to build, you know, a weekend MVP. Of course you could spend a lot of time and make it perfect, but you're not going to want to do that. You're going to want to, you know, vibe code or hire a freelancer or do both to time constrained it to 48 hours. In Josh's case, he actually did it in like 12 hours. But I think that for most of us, you know, 48 hours is a good amount of time. And then you're not going to want to hire people right away, right? You're going to want to make, you know, build the confidence that you can build something and scale it. So just automate as much as you can. And then just tweet your progress daily. You know, open up your dashboard and revenue. You know, maybe share some of that. create feedback loops, and have that distribution first mindset, right? Like just share things on IG, X, LinkedIn. There's two guys that I think do this really well. So this guy, Yoni, every day he just posts, you know, day 415, day 414, day 413. And he's just talking about his startup journey. And sometimes it's good. And sometimes, you know, self-admittedly, he's just like, I'm just going to do my daily video. And he just talks about whatever he's learning in the arena. And it got him to 176,000 followers just from doing that. So it's totally possible. There's also a guy named Jack Fricks, who does a really good job. I've had him on the pod before, where he does a similar thing where he just, you know, this is, he basically just talks about what he's learning from, you know, it started off in his mom's basement, but now he's making $20,000 a month from his micro SaaS. So, I think short form, is super, super smart to do. I'm actually horrible at like looking at a camera and doing short form. It is a skill. It will take you time. But I think that if you can master it, and it probably is going to take you 60 days to get good at it, and just do it every day and just share what you're learning in real time. And you can actually repurpose some of that short form and put it on X and LinkedIn. So that's something I definitely recommend you do. From a pricing perspective, like if you can do recurring revenue, because you know that's obviously the best. You know how much money you're going to come in tomorrow, come in next month. Charge from day one. A lot of people create free products for their micro SaaS because they don't feel confident in it. I would say charge from day one. You can always do discounts over time, and then kill churn with value. In the beginning, you're going to have a lot of churn. Churn, by the way, what I mean by that is retaining your users. So the hardest part about a micro SaaS is people go and they cancel, and you don't want them to cancel. So how do you stop them from canceling? Well, you give them more and more and more and more value, such that you're killing churn over time. So don't be scared if your churn is high over time. What that means to you is just you need to go and create more and more value. And your job as the CEO of this thing is to prioritize the things that will add as much value. So you're playing an infinite game. You want to ship weekly improvements, if not daily. And you want to stay, you know, outsource as much as you can, like build on top of giants is basically what I mean by this. So use, you know, you don't want to recreate things from scratch. Use things like, you know, throw things on the cloud, use things like Shopify if you need to use things, just build on top of, stand on the shoulders of giants. And I what's missing from here is also just like be kind with your customers. Like just try to, like as you're building this audience, you know, you're going to have haters and stuff like that, but like kill them with kindness. Try to add as much value to as people as possible. Set up, you know, tweet notifications in your niche and just respond to people, give value. And over time, you're going to add 5 to 10 followers a day on your audience. And people are going to hear about whatever it is you're building, your micro SaaS. A few more frameworks that I want to get into, and then we'll get to some of the ideas and how to build them. But the market gap heat map, basically you want to focus, like if you're thinking about, okay, what micro SaaS, you know, should I create? You want to basically focus on the quadrant of high demand. There's a lot of people that want this thing and there's few tools. You don't want to focus on high demand and many tools. This is kind of a trap because this ends up getting focused. It gets bombarded by VC-backed startups, and then you have a huge churn problem, and it's just hard to earn attention. So I would say like try to focus initially on high demand, few tools, and then over time, like you can expand your product. Like for example, you know, the bank statement converter guy can go and expand into other conversions, not just bank statements. And then he can go into a more high demand area. But initially, it makes sense to go into a high demand few tool area. You can use tools like Google Trends to find out, where their demand is. And you can go and see that. And then you can also, I go to ideabrowser.com and see, you know, the trend section where we have different trends, and you can basically just scroll and see like, okay, you know, what is trending right now? You know, where do I see an opportunity to create, you know, some micro SaaS, product. The other thing is a lot of people end up building incredible micro SaaS, but they basically do the hard work around getting attention. They get 25,000 followers on X. People know of them, but they're in a space that people have low willingness to pay. So you want to focus on high pain and high willingness to pay. You don't want to focus on low pain, low willingness, high pain, low willingness, and low pain, high status, right? So when you come up with your idea for your micro SaaS, just come back to the problem pay matrix and make sure that you know that people have a high willingness to pay for this product. So another way to think about it is if you think about micro SaaS, you want to innovate in a niche and you want it to be high polished. If you think about a plugin, what is a plugin? A plugin is like a Shopify app. You're like built on top of someone's ecosystem. You're a WordPress app. It's niche, but it's low polish. What's a DIY script? That's almost like a GitHub repo. It's like super broad, low polish. And then big box SaaS is like where the Salesforces of the world play in, Microsoft and stuff like that. You want to focus on innovating over here and not so much market dominance, not broad. So it's niche, it's high polish, you've innovated on it in some capacity, and that innovation could either be from a product perspective or even just a marketing and positioning perspective. And that's where you want to be. Okay, let's talk about a few micro SaaS ideas that anyone could steal. My hope here is that this just, now that you understand a little bit about, okay, what is a micro SaaS? How to think about what type of micro SaaS idea I want to do, what makes a good one, a little bit of a playbook. Let's just talk about some ideas that probably could work that fit the bill. And anyone could steal these, and I hope you do, honestly. So the first idea is called Permit Sync. And the idea is that a lot of, you know, homeowners hit the wall when their city's permit office asks for drawings and affidavits and inspection dates they never heard of. The pain is paperwork paralysis, not hammer skills. So you can basically start by scraping public permit checklists for the 50 most active American cities, drop them into a structured database. The version one asks you three questions. So you do like almost like a quiz. So the city, the project type, and the square footage, and that spits out a PDF packet. Correctly named forms and auto-filled address and the next step checklist. You can ship this in 48 hours. I would use something like Next.js, Supabase, PDF kit, and then test it on a local Facebook group, like a home reno group. By the way, people think Facebook groups are dead. There's still a billion active users in Facebook groups, so you can test a lot of these micro SaaS ideas on Facebook groups. The moat is localization. So every week you can have out two more jurisdictions. You can integrate edge cases like the, you know, San Jose wildfire compliance forms, et cetera. And you can price it for like $99 one-time fee for a project, plus maybe an optional $19 a month SMS status line. This is something that a lot of micro SaaS products do, is they have a fee and then there's some upsell. So think about when you're building whatever it is, you know, whatever micro SaaS you're building, what is your pricing and then what is your upsell? And then how would you actually grow this? Well, you can post short form, you know, looms or videos, demos titled How to Pass an Inspection in San Francisco, How to Pass an Inspection in Miami. And then you get SEO for, you know, San Francisco permit help. You try to get builders forums to link back. So I think there's a big SEO play for this. You know, long term, county clerks will change forms. I acknowledge this. So treat that churn as an opportunity. Upsell them to a $299 a year contract tier with automatic jurisdiction updates and multi-address dashboard. So this is, to me, like a pretty fun, fun micro SaaS idea to do, especially if you're into renovations. I like the business model. I think that the growth loop makes sense around the SEO, and it's going to compound. And for people who say like, oh, SEO is dead, SEO is dead. No, SEO is not dead. It's still generating tons, like billions of dollars of commerce. And if you do good SEO, it's going to rank you well in ChatGPT anyways and Perplexity anyways. So that's idea number one. Idea number two, and this is one that hits home to me, is called Podscriptor. So podcasters burn 2 to 3 hours at least per episode polishing show notes and clipping TikTok teasers. So basically like 60-second teaser clips. So the wedge is every RSS feed holds enough metadata to automate 80% of that grunt work. So you build a web hook that triggers on new episode publication, pipes audio into a diarization model, titles each timestamp, and then feeds the outline and punchlines into a text-to-video template, captions, and B-roll. So, you know, you can ship an MVP targeting anchor.fm users, which are Spotify users. They drop the RSS URL, get a Google Doc, and 3 MP4 vertical clips in a Google Drive. Obviously, it has to be high quality, right? But I would use something like this. And how you monetize it, you make the first episode free because you need to show value. And we talked about that earlier. You know, you want to show value early on. But then, you know, $29 a month up to 8 episodes, and then you can go usage-based beyond. So I included this idea here because I think usage-based as a business model for micro SaaS is going to get more and more common. It depends on what you're building, but you know, you might realize like MRR or recurring revenue monthly just might not make sense for what your micro SaaS idea, but a usage based might be the wedge to get a lot of people to use your thing. You can use ChatGPT and you can use Manus and you can use Perplexity to do financial projections to see if it makes sense. Like with your costs and stuff like that. But I anticipate that usage based is only going to get more and more popular and something that a lot of you should look into. From the growth engine perspective, the OMG, here's my free clip tweet is your growth engine. So you embed a tiny watermark in the bottom right. You integrate it with Descript, Riverside, and CapCut marketplaces for distribution. And you do a weekly leaderboard, top podcast that gains 10K views using Podscriptor. And that drives FOMO. So, thinking like that, not only does that drive FOMO, but it's interesting, right? It's giving value back to the community. So think about like whatever it is, whatever micro SaaS you're building, like how can you do a weekly email that keeps you top of mind, that you can ultimately create an ad unit that says like, upgrade that adds a lot of value. Once MRR hits $10,000, roll out topic clustering that auto-generates evergreen YouTube playlists and newsletter digest, maybe at $49 a month. And you probably could exit this business at a 4 to 6x ARR. Okay, maybe it's 3x, maybe it's 7x. But in that range, I think that a lot of the vertical specific tools like a Vimeo, which is publicly traded, CapCut, et cetera, would buy something like this. Idea number three is called Specsheet. So this is a bit of a more boring idea than, in my opinion, the first two. But listen, you know, bank statement converter was boring too. So, you know, and it's making $40,000 a month. So sometimes you got to be boring. So the idea is this. B2B buyers go through these long PDF spec sheets. Sometimes they're like 30 pages. Hand copying line items into an Excel grid to compare chips, APIs, or SaaS tiers. So, and this is happening. You might not think it's happening because you work at a startup or something like this, but in big companies, this is happening all the time. And the large pain point here is there's decision delay. So if you can build a drag and drop uploader with 3 competitor PDFs in a sortable web table, you can use something like LangChain and Taboola to extract fields, then you normalize with a synonym map, throughput, for example, versus requirements. that is going to be so valuable for people. You can use Next.js, Supabase, Cloud Run Worker to go and build this out. And you know, the first version, you obviously want to be a super tight scope, like compare feature flag platforms, and then landing page seeded with three public PDFs. And you know, founders and executives and leaders of companies are just going to feed this product more and more PDFs, and every upload improves your synonym map. So it's another reason why I wanted to include this one is you might have a data moat with your micro SaaS. So, and I love data moat businesses right now. So if you can think about, you know, ways to get more data, make the experience better, then that's going to help you with your churn problem later on. Pricing, you can do something like $49 a month. Now let's talk about growth. So, you know, people love slides, especially in the corporate environment. So you can do an add a copy to Keynote button that renders a pretty two-column comparison with your logo footer. Every deck shared in a board meeting is another backlink. And then the long tail SEO, for example, Launch Darkly versus Split in 2025 is yours within the quarter. So something like this could get to 20K MRR. And you can, I actually think it can get a lot, you know, bigger. You know, for later you can resell the anonymized aggregate stats via an API. So you can say like, oh, you know, you have this data around, okay, 70% of feature flag buyers choose usage-based pricing. That's unique data that someone would buy. And I just tweeted about this also, like this whole movement around paying for data. You know, I talked about Cloudflare. They just launched pay per crawl. Websites can now charge AI crawlers for scraping content. So I think you're just going to see more of this over time. So I'm particularly interested in micro SaaS that have this data advantage. And I think, by the way, people are going to buy businesses just for their data. And that's another opportunity. Like you can go and buy, if you can buy a micro SaaS with data, maybe they're going to value it at 2x ARR or 1x ARR. But if you can sell the data, you can increase that ARR pretty simply. We're going to go through two more ideas. Idea number four is Cart Saver. So Shopify stores lose 70% of carts. There's all these generic complete purchase emails. But what if you had 11 Labs, which is the voice AI cloning, and you use Canva's API to auto-record a 30-second personal video for any cart more than $100? So the app grabs the shopper's first name, a product shot, and a founder's voice with an MP3 overlay, which is so cool. And it's like, hey, Jane, notice you love these sneakers. Here's 10% off. Link below. And it's a video. You can even say like, hey, this is an AI-generated version of me. But I still think it's really cool and there's an arbitrage opportunity to do this. This would crush. So you create a Shopify app, you know, using Rails and S3 that triggers on checkout an update webhook. It renders WebM with FMmpeg and emails via Shopify's marketing API. So you can do something from a pricing perspective, do like 1% of recovered revenue. And then how you would grow this thing is you just create a Twitter account, an X account that's all about growing. It's all about like abandoned carts and growing revenue. And then you do a lot of like side by side A/B graphs around how people increase conversions. And then the last idea, which I grabbed from ideabrowser.com, is called Grand Guru. So I don't know if any of you have submitted a grant, but it is talk about painful. Like talk about painful. It takes so long. It's so intense. So people really, really do. They try to avoid it or they just give up. But if there's something called Grant Guru and it asks five prompts, like your mission, your impact, your stats, your budget, and then drafts these full proposals matching the foundation's language style and brand, that would be huge. And hopefully make the world, you know, give people the opportunity to do, you know, their life's work and stuff like that. So you can pilot with US-based art nonprofits. The way I would do it is I would scrape 100 winning proposals. I'd train a style transfer template. I'd build an MVP in Django and Stripe. I'd output it in DocX with auto-generated cover letter and budget table. And then early users send feedback on tone, fine-tuned by org charts, arts, environmental use. Pricing, you can do something like $149 for the full proposal or subscribe for $99 a month unlimited. And then growth, you can do publish a public funded via Grand Guru leaderboard. Foundations love success stories and applicants trust proven track records. There's also, like, no one talks about these stories of how they get these grants. So if you had like a Twitter account that showed this, I think that would be really interesting to people. And then you can run webinars with grant coaches and then they become affiliates earning 20%. These are some of the ideas. And I bet you as you're going through it, if you're taking notes and stuff like that, you kind of understand now, like, okay, there was a pain point. There's like a wow moment. There's a trial. They tell their friends. There's a media component, right? There's like this building of audience piece. These are focused on high margin. They're low capex. They don't require a lot of money. Oftentimes they require less than $500 to build the first version. They're extremely niche at first. Like a venture-backed company is going to raise $1 billion to go and build this. And it's focused on profitability. So it's not for everyone, right? Micro SaaS is not for everyone. It's really for people like the solo founder who wants a lifestyle business, who finds this interesting. And you can end up building like a bunch of these too, right? Like if you look at, Levels.io, Peter Levels, who's probably the most famous indie hacker. Like that's what he has, like a bunch of these, 139K a month, 40K a month, 36K a month, 22K a month, 16K a month. So you can build a portfolio of those. I call that being more of a multipreneur, having multiple products. But, if you're just starting out, you want to start with one, prove that you can get to 10K a month, 20K a month. And then over time, you can go and build others or you can actually buy others. Like I said, this isn't easy. It's not like you're just going to follow this playbook and it's just going to work. There is going to be a lot of pain. And there's going to be a lot of zigs and there's going to be a lot of zaggings. But if you can figure out how to build audience and community and you can figure out how to build products that actually speak to the pain, then you're iterating and you're building audience, you're getting more and more people and your product's getting more and more value. Your retention's going more and more down. Your engagement's going more and more up. Your word of mouth's going more and more up. And it could be extremely life-changing. So I hope this was helpful for people. I tried to make this as concise but comprehensive as I possibly could. I put a lot of work into this. If you like episodes like this of the Startup Ideas podcast, please like and comment so I know to do more of it. And I mean that because otherwise I won't do it. I want to create value for you. And the last thing I'll say is, I like thinking about this idea radar. So I think that if you're building a startup idea, there's the passion on the left hand side, and then you have monetization on the potential. And sometimes, the what you're passionate about does have monetization potential, but usually the sweet spot is somewhere in the middle. You want to build something that you're passionate about, that you think that you're going to have fun building every day. And you want to build something that has monetization potential, because that's going to get you to create something that's sustainable, and it's going to get you to exciting for you, and it's going to place you, it's a leaderboard at the end of the day, right? Like making money is a leaderboard. It's how well are you doing and how much value are you creating? So, hope this was helpful. I had fun doing this. I think there's a huge opportunity to build micro SaaS right now. And I can't wait to see what you build. And if you're looking for ideas, there's only one place to go, ideabrowser.com. Absolutely free to go and get an idea of the day. Enjoy.